We've just watched 30 minutes of football, 2 15-minute quarters. A lot of energy has been expended on that field. How many of you guys played football in high school or college, or maybe even on up? There's a lot of energy that's been expended up and down the field. And it's all for a trophy, a ring, paycheck. But let's ask ourselves a question. What did it take for those guys, and I'm in front of those speakers, I better back up a little bit. What did it take for those guys to get to play on that field? Desire, discipline, commitment, and sacrifice. And that's just not one day, one week. It's day in and day out, 365 days a year. Even in the off season, they are still have to be committed and work out. Vince Lombardi, the great Green Bay Packers coach, Hall of Famer, he said, winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all-the-time thing. You don't win once in a while. You don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit. Unfortunately, so is losing. We're watching a football game. I played. Many of you guys have played. Some of you ladies have played volleyball and basketball and other sports. It's just a game. But we're on the playing field of life. And it has eternal consequences. It's not just for a trophy. The four things I said earlier: desire, discipline, commitment, and sacrifice. Let's talk about those for a minute. Let's read 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Now, if you'll do some study, you'll find out that the Apostle Paul is talking about the Olympic Games. Back then, they were called the Grecian Games, if you'll do some study. And he was very familiar with those, since he had churches in Corinth and different places. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly, who do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body, or I make my body, would be another thing you could say, to come, you know, and make it my slave, so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Now, I played all the sports, basketball, football, and actually I didn't play baseball. I played men's fast pitch softball. I started playing when I was 16. And if you've never played men's fast pitch softball, you haven't played a game. Because if you got a good fastball pitcher out there, that ball's coming in there. He's only 60 feet from you. It's coming in at about 100 miles an hour. In fact, I've been in the batter's box, and I could hear the ball as it twisted in the air. You could hear it sizzling as it came by the But track was my best sport. But in order to run track and be my best, I had to discipline myself. Track is only during the spring. And then I never got to run in any of the summer events because I was always traveling with Dad. But I had to discipline myself. I'm out there in the summer traveling all over with Dad. I got to go find a place, and I preferably wanted to run on a track because I'm a sprinter, and so I'm doing more sprinting than I was. And I had to do that day in and day out. If you lay off a week and I go back out there, I couldn't do what I did the week before. He says he keeps his body they keep themselves in shape. Now in Philippians 3:12, he says, "No, I've not already obtained all of this, or have already made perfect, but I press on to hold on to that for which Christ Jesus took hold for me. Brothers, I do not consider myself to take hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press toward the goal, to the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Forgetting the things that are behind," and he said, "I strain for what is ahead." If you run track, if you're going to win, especially a sprinter as I was in that 220, that 220 yards I ran back in the 50s, they run the 200 meters now. That last 20 yards, you have to press with everything you got because you have already expended everything ahead of time. Because it's a flat out sprint from the time that gun pops till the time you hit that tape. I remember in May of 1957, we were called the Cinderella Seven from Canyonville Bible Academy. Never had a track team before. A bunch of us guys got together and talked to history teacher into being our coach. We went down and we bought trunks alike. We talked to basketball coach into letting us use the singlets that for our jerseys. And our baton, I cut my broom handle off. That was our baton. We didn't have, we were a ragtag bunch. We ran in the state meet in the 880 relay. And I'm running second leg. Dick Ellingworth's running first leg. Roy Martin's running third leg. Ben Collins is running the anchor. And always before, I'd just stand waiting, and old Dick would just holler, "Go." And, man, I knew he was getting close, and I turned around, and I could see him, and he had his mouth closed, and he had the most excruciating look on his face I ever seen. And finally he did this, and I took off, and I had to slow down. You guys are on track now, in order not to get out of my passing zone before I got the baton. I got the baton. I transferred it to this hand, and I come out around that corner and come off of that curve headed down the middle of the track. Lanky was down there waiting on me. That last 20 yards, I'm seeing, I knew what Dick was saying, because I started seeing these white spots in front of my face. I had put us up into first place. And I was on thank goodness I was on the inside lane. And I said, "I ain't going to quit." And I just reached back and I started pumping with everything I had. I don't even know whether I caught a breath that last 5 yards or not. I handed that baton and it fell into the over. About half blacked out. But I strained with everything I had. Sorry to say, Lanky didn't do that. When he hit that point, everybody went by him. Ben took that baton, and that blue-eyed, blonde-headed Swede, he took off like he was shot out of a cannon. And he got us back to seventh place. And you could throw, now a lot of you don't even know what a double bed is, because all you've ever known is queens and kings. But you could have thrown a double bed blanket over all seven of them and still had some room on each side. We lost sixth place by 1/100th of a second. We would have got a huge rosette. First three got medals. Four and five got pins. But because one of our team members did not strain with everything he had when we needed him most, we didn't win the prize. If you're going to win the prize in your spiritual life, you're going to hit that place, because the devil going to make sure you do. And many people, when they do that, they give up. That's when you got to dig your heels in the ground and begin to say, no weapon formed against me will prosper. And push on. In order to do all of that, the first thing, you got to have a desire. Desire is wanting something so bad you can taste it. One of our greatest desires should be to have a close relationship with our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. J. Vernon McGee said, the highest desire that can be possessed by any heart is a longing to see God. Let me quote Vince Lombardi again. The difference between a successful person and others is not lack of strength, not lack of knowledge, but rather in lack of will, or you could say desire. Desire is the first step to getting to the championship. But desire is not enough. There's a lot of people that desire to be Christians. There's a lot of people that desire to have a better walk with God. But that desire is not enough. You need commitment. Now, commitment is not a word that you post on your refrigerator and read every time you open the door. Commitment means that you're going to do it, whatever it takes to make that desire come into reality. I've done that with many, many different things in my life. I told somebody one time, and many of you have played ball with me, and you know one thing, when I step on that court or step on that ball field, I will give it everything I've got. I have never slacked. In fact, I had one of my high school coaches said, Hagin, you know why you play? I said, not really. He said, you're not as good as so-and-so. But he said, you're committed. When you go on that field, I can trust that you will give me everything you got. You got to commit to serve God. Because the devil going to do everything he can to knock you off. You've got to commit to it. And you got to just say, hey, no weapon formed against me will prosper. I will make it. It may not look like it. There have been many times, my wife is sitting over there and she'll tell you, there have been many times that I didn't know whether Raymond was going to make it or not. But I was committed to it. I told her, I went back those first few years, 74, 75, 76, 77. That 75 year, 74, 75 year, I went home one day and I told her, I said, hon, Raymond's going to go. If I have to go to the pawn shop and pawn everything I got, Raymond's going to go. That's commitment. That's what commitment is. And I have made that commitment in everything that I do. When I minister, it's everything I got. One time a guy said, well, you didn't have much. I said, well, it's all I have for tonight. Now, desire, commitment. Another word that you don't want to talk about much is discipline. Discipline means making yourself do something when it's not fun, when you don't feel like it, when you don't want to do it, you do it anyway. When that alarm went off this morning at 6:30, I didn't want to get up. But I knew I needed to get up and get ready and then get into the office and go over my messages. That's the way I do it. Everybody's got their own way of doing things, but that's the way I like to do it. Get up, get ready, then I wake Lynette up, and then I go off to my office and I'm getting myself prepared. Discipline, making yourself do it. Maturity in Christ or maturity in the natural just doesn't happen. It takes hard work. 1 Timothy 4:7 says, train yourself up to be godly. Hebrews 12:7 says, as you endure this divine discipline. There are no shortcuts to physical discipline. I mean, to physical conditioning. There are no shortcuts. It's routine. Day in and day out. Routine. I don't know what they do now, but whenever we went out, the first thing we did is we stretched. That's the reason when you see people, I've never pulled a muscle. But it's because I had a coach early on that said, you'll never pull a muscle if you put effort into stretching. See, a lot of people, they go through those stretching, you watch them. They're not really stretching. They're just going through the motions. Man, I would lean against the wall. I would stretch so these hamstrings were loose. Hey, that's discipline. You got to discipline yourself. Go out and run. Everybody else went into the locker room. Coach said, okay, practice over. Hey, I don't know what the locker room's like today, but back in our day, they were like my day when I played. How many of you played when it was just a gang locker room? I mean, it wasn't no individual stuff. How many? I know what I'm talking about. I said, man, it's gonna be crowded and people are gonna be popping towels and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. I see some of you been there and done that. So you know what I would do? I would stay out and I would run. I would sprint a 220, walk a 220, sprint a 220, walk a 220, maybe do 10 of them. By that time, most of the guys are gone, then I don't have anybody in my way when I'm trying to get a shower and get cleaned up. But that's commitment. The last thing I want to mention is there has never been success without sacrifice. Hebrews 12:1 says, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Sacrifice is when you give up something in order to accomplish something. You pay the price. That's the same as a lot of people say, well, you got to pay the price. You got to pay the price in my study. A lot of you are in professions. And there's a price to pay to stay at the top of your profession. It just doesn't happen. You know, my dad finally was able to help me get a car when I was middle of my senior year in high school. And it's December, Christmas, I remember. He handed me the keys in a toolbox. Well, I worked on cars, and actually when I was on the road with Dad out on the road, I would service the motorhome, and I would service the car he was driving. You know, I could do that. No way I could even come close to doing anything with a car today. Because it's all changed. And the mechanics that are still in business, they had to sacrifice and learn how to work on the how to do work with the new cars. It's the same way with your Christian life. As you move along, you don't stay in the same place. God has got you moving forward if you're doing anything, and you may have to sacrifice some things. You have to discipline yourself. How many of you like success? Well, that's most of you. Some of you didn't raise your hand. But you may be like the guy my father-in-law tells this. I don't know whether it actually happened or not. I think he said it really happened. One pastor, he got up one day and he said, how many of you want to go to heaven? Well, everybody in the church raised their hand, but one man on the front seat. And the pastor looked at him and said, don't you want to go to heaven? He said, yeah, but I thought you was getting up a load to go now. Going back to something Vince Lombardi said, and he wrote a book and put a lot of this stuff in there. In fact, I heard him because I started watching football back in the 50s when I was a teenager in high school. But I heard him say one day, they were interviewing him, and he said, I will give the opposing team my plays. If everybody on my team is committed to what we are doing and will sacrifice themselves what they need to do and run the play successfully, you can't stop it. He went on to say, success is like anything worthwhile. It has a price. You pay the price to win. You pay the price to get to the point where success is possible. Most important, you pay the price to stay there. Football is a great deal like life in that it teaches that work, sacrifice, perseverance, competitive drive, selflessness, respect for authority is the price that each and every one must pay to achieve any goal that is worthwhile. Desire, discipline, commitment, sacrifice. With those four, and your competitive drive, and your perseverance, and selflessness, not being so concerned about number one. I've been in the church all my life, and I've seen some people, they're not willing to be selfless. They want to be the center of the attention. I found out, if you want to be the center of attention, do the little things that nobody sees. Push the other person, even when you desire that position. Desire. Do you have the desire that it takes to maintain your Christian walk, the discipline to maintain it, the commitment to stay where God's got you till He moves you somewhere else? Are you willing to make the sacrifice that it will take to live in line with the Word of God and be the success that God wants you to be? It's not up to your friend. It's not up to your wife, your husband, your mom, your dad. It's up to each one of us to have a desire for God that nothing can take away. To have the discipline to get in the Word and read the Word and live by the Word. Be committed to the church, to our fellow Christian, committed that I'm going to do whatever it takes to make Rhema go, to make my own life go, and be willing to sacrifice what you have to sacrifice in order to maintain. You know, all of you have seen Pastor Craig lose 100 pounds, right? You know what? He had desire. He had discipline. He was committed. And he sacrificed. What did he sacrifice? Some good stuff that wasn't good for him. As a family, our family, the Hagin family, we're close. All five of the grandsons, and Don and Denise and Craig and me, and we all go out to eat together. And I watched him while the rest of us was eating all the good stuff. I watched him do and was committed to do what it took to lose that weight. Just as he was committed to lose that weight. Are we all committed to God like that? I have to ask myself a question all the time. Are you still committed to the call that you accepted when you were 17 years old at Old Oak Ranch Youth Camp. I will go into ministry. Am I still as committed to it? Because you, if you're not, you have to check up on yourself, because you can just start coast. You can coast. I've been doing this a long time. You could go in my office and I got hundreds and hundreds of sermons. But you know what? I still prepare. When I could go and I got lots of them. Sometimes I'll get one of those and rework it. Because I've learned more now than when I preached it. So it's good, so I can take it with the new stuff, and now I got a new sermon. Why am I saying that? So you can do the same thing with your life, both naturally and spiritually, and you'll win the Super Bowl. Heavenly Father, I tried to encourage these people for just a few moments to use what it takes to win and be a success, both naturally and spiritually. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. With your heads bowed, eyes closed, we never know. There may be somebody here that would like to accept Jesus. You've never accepted Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, and you'd like to accept him. Or you might be here and you say, oh, I know what it is to serve God, but I'm not where I need to be, and I need to rededicate my life. There's a whole bunch of good people in this room that want to see you rededicate your life or see you accept Christ. And nobody would feel down on you if you raise your hand. We want to pray for you. We want you to be a success. And that doesn't happen unless you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Anybody in the room, anywhere. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you today for this time of fellowship. May each one of us learn how to respect our fellow Christian and our fellow man. May we take the Word of God and walk into our world and show them how to win with you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. That's just a little thought. Hope you enjoyed it.